And I think she's going to have to go to Spartanburg. And as far as I know, she hasn't gone yet. Rebecca Crumpton is on our prayer list. That's Mrs. Gardner over it. Used to teach at, she was assistant principal or something, I believe it, at Mount Gallant Elementary School. And her daughter is in the hospital up at Duke or one of those up there. A tumor between her esophagus and her stomach. And some hospitals wouldn't touch it. And others told her they were going to have to remove her whole stomach and all to take it out. But they say up there they can do it. So please remember her in prayer, Rebecca Crumpton. A relative of mine, the grandfather of this young man, is my first cousin, Ashley Parrish, that was found dead, possibly a drug overdose or something of that nature, probably in his early 20s. Rob Nance had a knee joint operation, and he's doing good. Lynn Ross at home with vertigo. Bill and Debbie Wright at home with health issues. Diane Hudler, I saw Wayne come in. She's not with you today. Let her know we're praying for her. She has a serious liver issue. And Wayne got a couple of job interviews, so that's good. Continue to pray for him. The right one will open up. Debbie and Charles Holland both have cancer, both going through treatments. Chris said Debbie's about the same, and that she takes her last treatment within the next couple of weeks. So she's run the whole regimen of the chemo. So continue to pray for both of them. The Templeton family have health issues, and both of them have sisters that have health issues. I want to remember them. The Skippers, COPD, and Bill was going to have cataract surgery. I hadn't heard if he has. Billy's been out of town last weekend, again this weekend, and so I hadn't got word from him. Jerry Hood has started out, we thought it was gout, or he thought it was, in his arm, and it was in very serious condition. He could hardly use it, and the doctors now think it's not gout, something else, so he's pretty down. He was not able to do the cleaning around the church weekend. His wife and son did the cleaning for him, and so remember him, please, in prayer. It's got to be pretty serious for that. Paul and Loretta are here. Continue to pray for their health needs. Faye Collins and Florence Gaston, both at home recuperating after procedures they've had done. Faye broke her pelvis, and Florence had a hip joint replacement. Jim Bancroft is having some serious health issues. I think he's had to go out on disability. And Jim was in the Marines, but he was never in combat. He was in Hawaii playing football and cracked his neck pretty bad. And now, all these years later, it's giving him a fit. So the military has the record and has agreed that it happened in the military, so they're covering his treatments. Ashley Hoyle, continue to remember her in prayer. Do we know any more?
She's doing better with medicine.
Okay, she's doing a little better. Rose's daughter's having similar issues of some kind or other. And I think Rose went there to stay all week. I don't see Don either, so they may have both gone. I don't know.
Don's here.
Okay. Rose went down. I think she stayed all week, and she's coming back today, I believe. So remember her and remember their daughter. She lives in Charleston. And there's a whole lot more. I went over them in Sunday school, the longer list, but I won't do that again now. So be sure to pray one for another. I want to give thanks today. Gary Coffey's standing in the middle of the door back there. Gary owns a landscaping company, and a lot of times he takes trees and tree limbs for customers out of their yard. And he climbed a ladder that was on top of something to get the height that he could get to take a big giant limb down. And the limb fell, and the weight of it swung it back and took out the ladder. Fortunately, he was tied to the tree. But he said he feels like he got shook like a rag doll. Every muscle in his body's hurting and all like that. But he's so thankful he was tied off well, because then he said, how am I going to get down? You know, they had to get a piece of the ladder that was still usable and put it on something and get him to lower himself with a rope to get on the ladder to get down. So it was a very, very dangerous situation. It could have been horrible, and we're glad it wasn't worse. But remember him in your prayers. Point number two, we need to have a special call business meeting to do an order of business on members that I need somebody to make a motion that we go into a non-scheduled business meeting, and I need somebody to write it down. You got a pencil and paper over there? Joy, I'm pointing at Joy Grace, I'm sorry. Joy's got it. All right, the motion is, Ira made a motion, Gary made a second. Any question? All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Anyone opposed? All right, this is special call business. Paul and Margie Cooper were formerly members of the church here. They moved to Independence, Virginia near their daughter. They both have mesothelioma, and her health is failing. She's in the hospital right now. They've asked me to do the funeral. They've asked if the church would allow them to be put members of this church for their last days. They send their offerings here. They watch on live streaming, but of course they can't attend church anywhere with their health. So if anyone has a question, I'll try to answer it. I've known these folks for many years. They're good and godly people. No question. Do I have a motion in it? We receive them into the membership of the church. Gary and Pete made a motion and a second, and several more. Thank you. Any question on that? All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Anyone opposed? Okay, just while we're in business, let me tell you that this past month, we didn't bring it up in the business because I forgot about it, but it was BBN's Share-a-thon, so we sent them a check for $300 in honor of those people who work here, who go to church here, who work there, and we support them monthly already. Now, that's a item that the deacons can approve, but I wanted to let you know about it. So if you're in favor of that, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. They hit their goal. I think it was 99.something% of what they wanted to raise for the operation of BBN Radio. So I need a motion that we adjourn from business. Joey made the motion. Chris Holland made the second. Any question? All in favor say amen. Thank you very much. That was not a bad business meeting, was it? Thank you for your help, and we can reassure Brother Paul. When they still lived in the region after they had moved, they were members for a period of time at Graceway Baptist Church, where Gary and his family helped start that church. And it's in the edge of Matthews and Charlotte. But that pastor doesn't know them like I know them, and they've been calling me for counseling on the phone a little bit, and they've been sending their offering, and they want to be a part of this church when their time comes. If Margie passes this week or anytime real soon, you know I'm waiting on an appointment to go have a heart procedure, and they've asked me to come to Conway, South Carolina, and do the funeral service for them. I'll do it if I absolutely can, if there's any way. But if it hits right at the time I'm still in the hospital or something, then I've got a couple of people that'll fill in for me. So thank you for your confidence, and please do continue to remember them in your prayers. All right, brother, lead us another song.
Yes, sir. All right, well, grab your hymnals one more time and turn to page 32, and we'll sing Blessed Be the Name. And I hope you're happy to be in church, and I hope you do bless God's name. He's given us a lot of freedoms, and we should be thankful today that we're in South Carolina and not California, and we don't have to be fined for being here today. So I'm thankful about that, and if you have your songbooks, we'll stay seated, but turn to page 32, Blessed Be the Name.
All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Verse 2.
His name above all names shall stand exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
On the last.
Everybody, we have service at 6 o'clock tonight, and those of you that are in the, we're in the choir, if we ever get it started back, and sing special music that if you come about 5:25 or something like that, Miss Gwen will be available probably for you to practice a song if you'd like to sing in the service tonight or next week. Joy, I believe I got a dead battery here. It's not, we just can use a net lapel mic, if I mean the pulpit might be okay. Okay. Turn it off. I don't want to run down the dead battery anymore. If you have your Bibles today, turn them into Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. I've been preaching on the prayers in the New Testament, especially the prayers of the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul prays in Romans 15. And verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul's prayers for the church at Rome is reminding them of the importance of abounding in hope, growing in our knowledge of our hope and confidence in God. Hope is a key in prayer. The focus of our context deals with the Jew and the Gentile. And he made it clear in chapter 14 and verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So he teaches us there are those within the church that are weak in the faith and those who are strong in the faith. Quite often that depends on how long you've been saved. And then secondly, it depends on how much you have applied yourself in the study of the Word of God to grow in your knowledge and your confidence of knowledge of God. So in chapter 14, verse 13 through 17, he spoke to these believers who were having some problems, the Jews with those who were not Jews. In verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. And the reference here is to eating those things that were not a part of the Levitical diet, or that had been offered to idols as burnt meat, that the meat itself was still edible, but it had been through a ceremony where it was offered unto idols. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So there were some believers judging other believers who were not following the Levitical diet. And you remember that the early church was primarily Jewish. And then as the church grew and was scattered because of persecution from Jerusalem, that they went throughout the region of Rome, and more churches began to get started, and God raised up Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Titus and Luke and all of these that established churches and taught the gospel. And through their efforts, Peter was used by God to open the gospel to a family of people who were not Jews, and they were saved. And so they appealed to the early church, how can we forbid them membership into the church if they've been saved and received the Spirit the same as we ourselves have? And so that began to be the message that went to the churches, that salvation was by faith in the grace of God, in the purpose of Christ dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. And those who believed that, God was saving, and they should rejoice in the salvation of others, not pick apart the differences that there were between them. Now, God used Paul to teach the church to be like-minded, to be in unity. And unity in the church comes from our belief system that if we believe alike the doctrines of God, then we are in unity. If we don't believe alike, there'll be no unity between us. But unity is not based on race or ethnic background or any of that kind of thing, of cultural differences. Our unity is based upon our faith in Christ and the fact that we together are believers in the family of God. Now, he explains from Scripture that God always had the plan that Christ is the light to the Gentiles. It goes back to Isaiah, who shared that Christ would be the light to the Gentile nations. And now the gospel is spreading in a greater way among the non-Jewish nations of Paul's day than it did through the Jewish nation itself. He shows proofs of divine revelation in the fulfillment of scriptures dealing with the Gentile nations becoming believers. They reveal the will of God, which had to come to pass. This was something they didn't know when, but they know now that this is the fulfillment of what God promised, of what would take place. It reveals truths that we lay hold of. The hope to anticipate God has something better for us all as believers than that Levitical system of laws and rules and regulations and diet and meat and drink and all that, that God has something better through grace to those who believe. God's opened the door of his mercy to the Gentile nations, and that we all learn to trust in Christ and not the keeping of the law to try to earn salvation, but to receive salvation from God through faith. Now, Paul deals with the subject in Romans 15, 13 is our text. He deals with the subject of hope. Hope is defined in Vine's dictionary as favorable and confident expectation, often referring to the yet unseen. Hope is more in the Bible than a wishing for. I hope the rain will quit. I hope it doesn't rain through the roof. I hope, that we get some sunshine soon. Well, biblical hope is stronger than that. It is an expectation of something, an assurance based on the Word of God. Our hope is in Christ, so we have assurance. We're not wishing for one day to go to heaven to be with God. We have the assurance that one day we're going to heaven to be with God. And that assurance is based on Christ. Now, in the New Testament, there are some adjectives that are combined with the word hope that are used, and we might take a quick look at those. If you want to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. Remember 2 Thessalonians, we had several messages from there on Paul's prayers for the church when they were in persecution and trouble and trial and hardship and building up their confidence in God. And our hope is in God, who has all power and who's in charge and who's on the throne controlling the universe and who's already finished what's going to happen in the rest of the world at the end of time in the book of Revelation. This same God we can have confidence in when we're going through what we're going through in 2020. We all know this is an unusual year. There are things happening that we haven't dealt with before. There are hardships that we didn't think we'd have to face. But our God is in charge, and we can have confidence in Him. Verse 16, chapter 2 of... I got to get in 2 Thessalonians. I'm in Titus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Good hope, an adjective added to the word hope, that we would have hope in God, and it is a good hope that we have. In Titus 2:13, a very reminding passage that deals with the coming of the Lord, He is our blessed hope that we look for His coming to take us to heaven. In 1 Peter 1:3, Peter said, we're born again unto a living hope. This hope is alive. This hope is living because it's based on our living Savior who is resurrected from the dead. Hebrews 7:19 says we have a better hope centered on Christ in a new priesthood and not on the law. Our hope is not in our keeping the law. Our hope is in the fact that Christ has paid the price for our sins. And then because of our love for Him, we seek to live for Him and learn more and more about Him. Now back in Romans 15:13, the God of hope as the author. God is the author of hope. Hope anchors our soul. In the midst of the storms of life, in the midst of troubles, we're anchored because we have hope in God who has the power to do all things. It is a purifying hope. 1 John chapter 3 says that any man that hath this hope in him of God's love for us, that he purifies himself even as he is pure. The word hope as a verb is translated often trust. Back in Romans 15, and verse 12 and 24. Romans 15:12. Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. That word is almost the exact same as hope. It is translated trust in several passages. Verse 24 says, whensoever I take my journey unto Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. So Paul had trust and confidence and hope that he would make his missionary journeys and the church would be a help and a blessing to him. Our hope is centered on Christ and the Word of God. I don't have hope in myself. I don't have hope in my ability to always do what is right and always know what is right to do. But I have trust in God that He will lead me and He will guide me and He will supply the need. In 1 Corinthians 15:19, Christians are those who are characterized by hope in Christ. We are those who trust in Christ and His promises. So we have trust and hope, and that is based and founded and grounded in God's promises through His Word. Now, phrases are used on hope when it's used as a noun. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul spoke of the hope of his calling. In Acts 23:6, Paul spoke of hope. He divided the people who were going to hang him. Pharisees and Sadducees had him arrested, and the Romans came and took him by force because he was the center of an uprising. And Paul realized that half this group was Sadducees and half of them was Pharisees. And the only thing they agree on is they didn't like Paul. And so they don't agree with each other doctrinally. So Paul said, brethren, hear me. I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and it's for the hope of the resurrection that I'm held in question at this time. And see, the Pharisees believe in the resurrection from the dead, but the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in spiritual things. They were all based on keeping the law. The Pharisees were not believers in Christ, but they believed that God could raise the dead. And so Paul said, for this hope I'm held in question. In Titus 1:2, he said, in hope of eternal life, whom God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Look, if you want to, with me in Acts 26, the book of Acts, chapter 26, and verse 6 and 7. Paul's giving his testimony before a king that he could be put to death in a moment. He's been in prison for some time for preaching the gospel. And he says, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." Chapter 26, verse 7. "Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." So Paul said, the only accusation against me is for preaching the hope of the resurrection of the dead, and the Pharisees themselves believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so he appealed to the king, who was not ignorant of all the things that were going on in the Roman Empire between Jews and Christians of that day. In Galatians 5:5, he said, "The hope of righteousness at the coming of our Lord." We have the hope that when the Lord takes us to heaven, that he will cleanse us in such a way that we will be accepted by God and be made righteous unto him. You are justified by faith, and that means made righteous before God. Colossians 1:23, "There is the hope of the gospel that is fixed in believers." We learn the gospel message, and that's the basis of our hope, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, and he is alive forevermore. In Acts 1, we learn he ascended back into heaven, and he will come again, and we're looking for his coming. He is our blessed hope in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we look at what Matthew Henry said about our hope. He wrote, "It is good in prayer to fasten upon those names, titles, and attributes of God which are most suitable to our attaining God's requests of us." In other words, with all the troubles and trials we're going through, let us focus on the fact that God is all-powerful. Let us focus on the fact that God is all-knowing. Let us focus on the fact that God is in every place at all times. We don't see God with the visible eye and with the hearing with our ear, but we read his word and we know his presence, that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Back over in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul dealt with the fact that before Christians were saved, those who were not Jews were outside the promises that were given to the Jewish nation. And he's dealing with that a little bit in Romans 15 as he has prayer with reminding them of God's fulfillment that the Gentiles would be saved. He said in Ephesians 2 and verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." There are people all over the world today whose hope is based upon a false religion. Those who have never heard the gospel message have no hope of a relationship with God. That's why it's so important and imperative that we preach the gospel, that we send missionaries around the world, that we do everything in our power to get the message out of the gospel and salvation by grace through faith in him. It says now, verse 13, "Now that you've been saved, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law and commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So the Gentiles, when they visited the Jewish temple or the Jewish synagogues, there was a wall of partition between them. They were separated from the Jewish people. And Paul says in the church, that wall is taken down. Now, male or female, Jew or Gentile, we are one in Jesus Christ if we have put our faith and trust in Him. So he's given these understandings to Israel to increase their hope in God and to encourage them in their times of trouble to trust in the Lord who has the power to do all these things. Turn with me in the book of Revelation, chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. After the book of Revelation names the 12 tribes of Israel that will be saved in the tribulation period, which will take place on the earth. It takes place after Christians and the church go to heaven to be with the Lord. On this earth, the tribulation period is taking place. And there'll be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes that will become believers and carry the gospel message in the tribulation. Verse 9 says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues," meaning languages, "stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and forever." So he realizes the importance that in heaven there's going to be people from every nation who speak every language and every ethnic background. There's going to be people from those saved in the future in the tribulation that will be in heaven with all believers. And so God makes the hope of salvation in Christ. And he would have people to be saved now, but there will be people saved in the tribulation. One of the dangers is there'll be multitudes of people killed before these events take place, and these will go through suffering. Look at verse 13. "One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him night and day, and day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." Now listen to this. Verse 16. "They shall hunger no more." That means they were hungry in the tribulation. "They shall hunger no more. Neither thirst any more." That means they had a problem of getting water that was fit to drink. "Wormwood will fall upon the earth, a great meteorite, and turn the fresh waters to bitter waters, and many will die from that. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat." Those that go through the tribulation will suffer a burning of the sun. And all those who have the mark of the beast will have a great sore that is cancerous upon them. And they will suffer and gnaw their tongues for the pain. The reason that these who believe shall suffer no more, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water, waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. They're going to have a tough time in a tribulation. My friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, don't put it off thinking, well, you'll get saved later on. You better not think that. You don't know if you're going to be alive later on. Today is a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And those who don't get saved until the tribulation are going to go through horrible things in living in that day. Christ is the hope of the Jew and the hope of the Gentile. We rejoice in his hope for the promise of God. Let's look at, if you're still here, let's go back to Romans chapter 15 if you're still there in your Bible or got it marked like I was supposed to have. Romans 15. And verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So all the Old Testament Scriptures have come up to this point in time in the Bible, and everything that was written for our learning, that we might have hope in God and hope in the fulfillment of salvation, which came when Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to pay for our sins. Now let us have faith and hope in Christ, which results in joy and peace in believers. As believers, it replaces any discord that was there between us and others in our religious beliefs. We come to a unity of faith if we receive Christ as our Savior, and this gives us joy that our sins are forgiven and peace at night to sleep, knowing that we're kept by the power of God. May our praise focus upon the Lord Jesus as our Redeemer and champion of our unity among us, not on our differences between us, not because one of us feels that we don't do this and we don't do that. Well, praise God you don't do that, but don't focus on that. Praise God you're saved by the grace of God and have brothers and sisters in Christ who may not be as strong as you are. Let us rejoice at the mercy and grace of God. We have redemption provided. So let's focus on the Lord and the peace between us and abound in the hope that we have that we can work together to accomplish more and reach more people. We want our brothers and sisters that are still out there in the world, our friends and cousins and co-workers and anybody who's not saved, we want them to be saved and become a part of the family of God with us. And since we're coming in our prayers to heaven's King, let us large petitions bring, and let us praise our great God and glorious King. Let us focus on the fact that our God is all-powerful, and our little bit of trouble we're going through in 2020 is nothing to Him, and He's on the throne, so let's ask Him for His help to deal with these things that we are going through. Back in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, let me read verse 28 through 32 of Romans chapter 8. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You who are saved, you're the called of God. And everything that happens in your life is working together for good because you love God. For whom He did foreknow, He did also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God is working in us to transform us to be like Christ. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So our relationship with God has placed us in a place of security and provision when we go through troubles and trials and tests. We who've been saved and justified and sanctified will also be glorified when we stand before God, conforming us into the image of Christ. So ask great things of your Father. Attempt great things for your Father. And believe that the God who's all-powerful can help you with whatever you need. Privilege and duty work together in the church for the honor and glory of the Lord. God's blessings make us joyous and grant us peace so that we can be thankful and praise God for every good gift that we have. But remember, we have no duty from God to complain and be miserable and doubtful and worried and all that sort of thing. I confess to God that I do that all the time. I worry about things, I complain about things, and You know, then every once in a while, God reminds me, you remember the nation of Israel when it was in the wilderness and they complained to me what happened? You go back and read that sometime. It'll help you not to complain and murmur against the Lord or his leaders. Let us always be rejoicing because our names are written down in heaven. And let our hearts be occupied with the God of hope so our faith will endure through the trials and tests of living life. Listen, living life is hard. There are hardship in many lives. Sadly, it breaks our hearts to look and see some people who seem to have it so much worse than we do, and they seem to have it often. They call it the Job syndrome. That people go through experiences that it just seems like everything in the world has gone wrong in their lives and in their families and in their home, and we're broken over that. And we don't have all the answers for that, but what we do have is a responsibility to pray for them and try to encourage them to draw close to God. The joy of the Lord is our strength to overcome. We've been established in Christ in the past. So let us be joyous and praise and have good hope in our future based upon Christ and God's word, confident that our future is bright. Hope is a firm expectation and a confident anticipation of all God's promises of what he will do for us. Psalm 119, verse 49 and 50, and I'm through. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And to quicken me means to give me life. We have life in Christ, and we have hope based on the Word of God. So let us have confidence today to live for the Lord and praise God and give Him thanks for all His goodness and blessings. No matter how difficult our trial might be, God's still on the throne. He knows what's taking place. Nothing takes Him by surprise. And so let us pray with that kind of hope and confidence in the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Father, I'm thankful today for the faithfulness of your people in being here in this storm that came off the hurricane and all these rains that we've had, but yet many brave the weather to come out, protect their health, that they don't get sick from getting their head wet and that sort of thing, we pray. And Lord, we ask that you'll provide for us and protect us as you have done. And we offer to you our praise and our thanks and our adoration because you are worthy. And we're thankful that you love us and that you're going to keep us by your power. And we have a glorious future to look forward to. But Peter said right now we might be in some temptations and trials. And Lord, we are. And we acknowledge that we have the understanding of that from the Word of God, that we should be prepared for that and aware of that because of living life. Help us to exalt Christ and our God and the Word of God that others might receive Christ as their Savior through the troubles and the trials that might draw them to God looking for help and looking for answers. Thank God we have answers in Jesus Christ, and we pray you'll help us to share that with others. Bless now in this invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.